data. Speaking at the press conference at the Stage Palace in the Jakarta on Wednesday, Nugroho explained that awareness and vigilance are crucial to prevent fraud attempts that exploit digital defense.
Terkait dengan perlindungan data, memang itu menjadi
shared concern because the agency is not the only institution responsible for handling all aspects of data protection. It requires hard work and collective awareness because once again, when we talk about cyber and data, we're not only talking about systems and hardware, but also awareness.
Tapi juga awareness.
Nugroho emphasized that awareness and caution can prevent various forms of digital fraud, such as phishing, where offenders trick victims into revealing their personal information. He explained that such attack cannot be completely prevented by system or device alone, as they often rely on social engineering tactics that exploit a person's lack of awareness. He therefore urged journalists to play a role in increasing public awareness of the importance of being cautious when sharing personal data in digital space.
Let's move on to our next info, where Indonesia Central Bank opens possibility of interest rate cut awaits global dynamics. The Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, has reopened the possibility of lowering the benchmark interest rate in 2025. However, the decision is still subject to the development of global economic condition. Ofra has the details.
The Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, Governor Peri Wirjoyo stated that there is still room to lower the central bank rate. However, the timing will depend on global dynamics. This was conveyed in the press conference of the Central Bank's board or governors meeting on Wednesday, 19 February 2025. Peri explains that Indonesia's low inflation is one of the factors that allows for further rate cuts. The move is also in line with the central bank's efforts to boost the country's economic growth.
Ketidakpastian global yang tetap tinggi ini terus memerlukan penguatan respon kebijakan yang terus ditingkatkan.
The still high global uncertainty continues to call for enhanced policy responses, which will further be improved to mitigate the impact of the spread to maintain stability and promote domestic economic growth. Indonesia's economic growth remains good and needs to be further encouraged. In the fourth quarter of 2024, the growth was recorded at 5.02% year-on-year, an increase from 4.95% in the previous quarter, bringing full year 2024 growth to 5.03% year-on-year.
5% year-on-year pada triwulan sebelumnya, sehingga secara keseluruhan tahun 2024 mencapai 5.03% year on year.
Furthermore, Peri explains that the Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, had previously cut its benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points to 5.75% in January 2025. The decision was taken in response to the downward revision of economic growth forecast. Meanwhile, the central bank continues to monitor the impact of the government's fiscal policy and the Astacita programs on economic growth.
Our next info is about food stocks more than sufficient ahead of Ramadan. The government guarantees food stock ahead of Ramadan are more than enough. Dora Pardede has the details.
Food stocks ahead of the holy month of Ramadan 1448 Hijriah are more than sufficient. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman in a press conference after a limited coordination meeting in Jakarta Wednesday. Amran explained that the availability of rice in the logistic agency Hodar Bulog is very high, reaching 2 million tons of rice. In the press conference, he also emphasized that food sales should not exceed the highest retail price.
When it comes to data protection, it is indeed a shared concern because the agency is not the only institution responsible for handling all aspects of data protection. It requires hard work and collective awareness because once again, when we talk about cyber and data, we're not only talking about systems and hardware, but also awareness.
Amran Sulaiman even revealed the government will act decisively to those who violate it by revoking the business license of those selling above the highest retail price. Amran further said that market operation will be held throughout Indonesia. He also promised that the price of cooking oil will be lower than that of last year. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Coming up next, information about Indonesia-Iran Movie Week in Jakarta. Iranian film director is interested in collaborating with Indonesian counterparts in film production. Rama Sidki Pratama has the details.
An Iranian film director whose work has been nominated for the Oscars this year said he is interested in collaborating with Indonesian filmmakers in the future. At the opening of Indonesia-Iran Movie Week in Jakarta on Friday, February 21st, the director, Baba Khatir Pasha, considers both Indonesian and Iranian people have many cultural interactions. Pasha stressed that the collaboration should involve local stories so that the movies produced have their own identity.
باعث افتخار منه و عزیزان ما در اندونزی برادران ما هستند.
It should be my honor and all counterparts from Indonesia are our brothers and they are very dear artists. I hope this happens and we can work together. The most important thing is that we, whether Iranian or Indonesian artists, should realize that we have to stand on our own feet and make films that are part of the story and life of our countries. Baba Khatir Pasha is an Iranian filmmaker, screenwriter and actor whose film, In the Arms of the Tree, represented Iran at the 2025 Academy Awards, commonly known as the Oscars. It became the first movie screened at the opening event, which Indonesia's Minister of Culture, Fadlizon, personally attended. Indonesia-Iran Movie Week, presented to celebrate 75 years of relations between Indonesia and Iran, the screen for Iranian and for Indonesian films. Rama Sidki Pratama reported for Voice of Indonesia.
Next, info is about Japan's support Indonesia's national development. The strategic partnership between Indonesia and Japan continues to grow, especially in the infrastructure and regional development sectors. Ranoff has the details.
Japanese government support for Indonesian national development priorities under the leadership of President Prabowo Subianto deserves the highest recognition. This was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono when attending the celebration of the Emperor of Japan's birthday in Jakarta on Thursday.
Indonesia's commitment to its strategic partnership with Japan is unwavering. Our friendship is built on history, strengthened by shared admiration and carried forward by trust and mutual respect. As we move forward, I am confident that our collaboration will grow even stronger in infrastructure development, energy, agriculture, and education.
Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono also highlighted key strategic projects resulting from the collaboration between the two nations, including the expansion of Patimban Port and the strengthening of urban transportation systems such as Jakarta's MRT. He emphasized that the Indonesian-Japan strategic partnership will continue to reinforce, particularly in infrastructure, energy, agriculture, and education.
Last but not least, we have information about Japanese ambassador who invites Indonesia and others to persuade USA on tariff policy. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia, Masaki Yasushi, invited Indonesia and other countries to persuade the United States to reconsider the tariff policies on certain countries. He conveyed this after opening the celebration of the Emperor's birthday in Jakarta on Thursday. He explained that the Japanese government is paying special attention to the tariff policy imposed by the new U.S. administration. According to him, this policy has the potential to have a negative impact on the world economy, especially regarding the possibility of an economic war between the U.S. and China.
Well, now the new president of the United States tried to use tariffs as a sort of a negotiation. So we have a concern. And China already has been caught by high tariffs. But I don't think it's a very good thing to the world economy. So Japan and Indonesia and other countries who are based on the multilateral law have to convince to persuade the United States to be based on the rules committed. And also, we should avoid escalation of a trade war between China or United States or whatever.
U.S. President Donald Trump recently announced a new import tariff policy targeting developing countries, including countries in Southeast Asia. The new policy is said to be a retaliatory measure against developing countries that impose high import tariffs on U.S. goods. Meanwhile, for Indonesia, the U.S. is one of the largest aluminum export markets. In the period January to August 2024, the Director of Trade Security at the Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Nathan Kambuno, reported that Indonesia's extruded aluminum exports to the U.S. were recorded at $41 million. The export value plummeted compared to the same period in the previous year at $79.5 million. Well, listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week. Before we're moving on to our next info, let's listen to a song.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Welcome back, listener, and thank you for staying tuned in Indonesia Today. Since Prabowo Subianto became president, children in Indonesia has been provided with nutritious meals, which is one of the program of the president. But how important nutritious meals itself? Let's listen to a dialogue with Professor Dr. Hardiansyah, a professor of FEMA IPB University, and Dr. Hajah Kurniasi Mufidayati, MSE, member of Commission 9 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, hosted by my colleague Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, what we have already promised you here now, we are going to do our dialogue this morning. It is VOI Talk with the title The Importance of Free Nutritious Meals Program. And we have been connected with Chairman of Indonesian Nutrition and Food Expert Association and also Bogor Agricultural Institute or IPB University, Professor Dr. Hardiansyah. Let's greet him. Hello, Professor Hardiansyah.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, so how are you today, Prof?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your time, Professor Hardiansyah, for joining our special dialogue today and talking about the free meals, free nutritious meals program of the government.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, with me, Ahmad Faisal, in the studio of Voice of Indonesia, Pak Hardiansyah. Well, so according to you, why is it important to provide nutritious meals, not just food, Pak Hardiansyah?
Yeah, nutrition is very important it's not only for health, but also for the cognitive function and physical and productivity of each of the people, yeah.
Mm.
So with the better nutrient intake, better nutritional status, people will have a good physical performance,
mm-hmm.
have a good cognitive performance and mental performance, and also have a better health. So it is a prerequisite. It would like to have a future better generation in Indonesia.
Okay. So, Pak Hardiansyah, IPB University is also believed to succeed the free meal programs. So, what is the progress according to you, Pak Hardiansyah?
Yeah, as long as I know from several information,
mm-hmm.
that the progress is getting better, yeah. From the beginning of the January 2025, and the IPB University involved in starting developing a model,
mm-hmm.
for the nutritious meal program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is the IPB University also hold such I can say an observation, Pak Hardiansyah, maybe around Bogor and even another province, Pak Hardiansyah?
I have no time yet to the area, but at least last week I went to Satuan Pelayanan Pemenuhan Gizi, SPPG. This means the food service unit that provide about 3,000 meals a day in Bogor City, especially in the Tanah Sariau. I saw it's very good SPPG, Satuan Pelayanan Pemenuhan Gizi, and I discussed also with the manager, and everything running well there.
So, Hamisah, how to indicate that, I mean, based on maybe your analysis or observation, that the meal is nutritious, Pak Hamisah?
Yeah, the characteristic of nutritious meal, first, simply we can saw from the variety of the food there. If the variety of food fulfill the staple food, the dish or a protein source food, and a fruit, vegetable, and drink, that fulfill all variety of food. This reflects the quality of the food. The second one, we have to also to watch to look the quantity, whether or not the quantity is fulfilled about 1/3 of the nutrient requirement of the target beneficiaries.
So you mean, Pak Hamisah, it's also important to know about, I can say, the difference of quantity, for especially for elementary school students, and also even for junior high school students, when and even senior high school students, they also have such these free nutritious programs. So is it indicated that they are also they also have a difference nutritions, Pak Hamisah?
Yeah, the requirement, the nutrient requirement for male and female and for different age group actually different. But simply as Ministry of Health suggests, we can categorize the age group of the children, for instance, from 7 to 12 years old, and then from 13 to 17 years old, so it can be aggregated. In term of the age group, this reflects the difference. So the quantity that we serve to the young primary school children should be different to the senior high school student, for instance.
So
because the requirement are slightly different.
Yes, Pak Hamisah, this also such. I mean, does it also have such? Difference quantity. Hamisah, if we say such, you know, when you try to observe maybe in one province and also into another province, when you say like here, maybe it is in Java Island and even in Sumatra Island.
No, I mean usually the difference is about the type of the food and the way to process of the food.
Yes.
For instance, in Papua, maybe they consume also tubers as a staple food, and they consume in the coastal area of Papua, maybe fish, but in the hilly area, it's difficult to find fish, consume rice. So children, school children also like rice, so a staple food rice. But for the protein sources in Java is so varies. It can be egg, can be tofu, tempeh, it can be also meat, it can be also milk, chicken, for instance, like that.
Okay, Pak Hirasha, so we are going to continue our dialogue after this song.
Yes, so hello. What is the question?
Hello, di samudra tentang katulistiwa itu ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, kita selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta.
Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, now,
imagine dulu,
Prof. Habinsyah, we have also been connected with
sandarannya yang dimajuin, jadi harus berhenti.
Member of Commission 9 of the House of Representatives, Ibu Kurniasih Mufidayati. Bu Kurniasih, how are you today, Bu?
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you too, Bu Kurniasih.
I will prepare just a minute, ya.
Yeah, okay,
our
okay.
Position, yeah, because it's still in the car.
Okay. Bu Kurniasih, we have also another guest with Professor Habinsyah as Chairman of Indonesian Nutrition and Food Expert Association. Okay. So, Bu Kurniasih, so How do you see free meals program now, Bu Kurniasih?
I forget to open unmute or mute.
Yes,
yes,
okay.
The free nutrition meal program has been running since January 2025, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a new program in this period. This is the priority program from Mr. Prabowo Subianto, our president, of course. And this is very, very important to our students in Indonesia because our president want to improve the quality of mm-hmm. our students and our nutrition for all students in Indonesia. This is also to decrease the stunting numbers ya in mm-hmm. Indonesia. I think it's very very good programs and very very appreciate for President Prabowo because he make this program after we saw how we said, yeah. Because in the other countries, the program has been long time ago. Mm. Yeah, but in Indonesia still just started that now.
So, Bu Kunesi, so far, how do you see the impact of this program on communities, Bu Kunesi?
Yeah, this program has multi-layered effects, yeah. Not only in terms of good nutrition, but also the growth of economy in grassroots. Local resources such as agriculture and livestock products local will be used in this program. This program also hopefully will encourage economic revival rural, yeah, because we have so many products, local products from many rurals in our country.
Okay, now let's turn to Pak Hardinsyah. Prof, do you see about the challenges so far in ensuring that food assistance is both healthy and also affordable for communities?
Yeah, the challenge I think, first, how the manager of each of the food service unit, the SPPG, could constantly and continuously provide a variety of quality and safety nutritious food based on the local availability of the food without depending on the local food availability, the program later on will be biased. That's why we need also the role of the local agriculture office, local fishery office, and animal husbandry office to produce more fruit locally. Yeah, so the benefit also is not only for the children and mother, the target beneficiaries, but the benefit also will gain by the local farmers, by the local traders, by the producers of the local food. And the second one, the challenge is how to maintain the safety of the kitchen, the facility in the SPPG or in the food service unit, including water and sanitation, to maintain the safety of the food provided to the target beneficiaries. We cannot imagine if something wrong, missing in the control of the food safety stage, and then we'll have a big problem. So, as long as we maintain the sanitation of the food service unit and also the people working there and all the process be safety, and then the challenge will be minimized on the food safety.
Okay, so let's turn to Bu Kurniasi. Bu, like what has been said by Pak Hardinsyah, we have also know about the challenges such as sanitation and also even the kitchen and the full safety of the nutrition food. So how do you see, Bu Kurniasi?
Yes, of course, because this program is the new program, national program in Indonesia. I think it must be developed month by month, and it will be implemented by month. Yeah, in 1 month we will have about 1,000 units. Yeah, for serving the meals, nutrition meals for students. And the challenges, of course, must be faced and must be solved. Yeah, must be solved. And I think the National Nutrition Foundation has prepared a comprehensive ecosystem to make this program success. They have created already a good ecosystem that has been presented in our Commission 9. So I trust that BGN or National Nutrition Foundation can be successful to to make this program success in Indonesia. But of course, because this is the new program, it will be implemented in many stages, adding points every month with a target of 4,000-5,000 points or units in July.
Okay. So, Pak Habibsa, you said also, like you said before about the safety and also the about sanitation and even the kitchen. So, how can we? I mean, observe. I mean, how about the duration of things here about the observing of the sanitation or kitchen?
Could you repeat again? I couldn't catch your question. Could you repeat again?
Yes. Habibsa, we also know that about the safety of or the sanitation and even the kitchen, that we also have to make sure that it is really clear and I can say like free from like you know, something like the worst
hygiene
things.
And sanitized.
So how do you see, Habibsa?
Yeah, first in my visiting to SPPG, the food service unit, the environment, the sanitation of the kitchen is very good, yeah, and it apply the procedure how to maintain the hygiene and sanitation in the kitchen and surrounding the kitchen, even also in the car when distributed the food to the school, yeah, and I saw also the people working there quite hygiene and maintain the well sanitation surrounding that.
So, Pak Habibsa, IPB University is also believed by the government to succeed the free meal program. Actually, does IPB also have special team, Habibsa, I mean, to observe about this program in many provinces?
We haven't have a chance that to monitor to several area in Indonesia. IPB University just start building a kind of national model with the two-stage building, and also the place for the R&D will be done in the new future, and also as a center of excellence for the NBG or free nutritious meal program.
Okay. So let's turn to Bu Kurniasi. Bu, we see that IPB is also involved by the government to see directly about the process or the program of this free nutritious meal. So does the House of Representatives also encourage the government so that the government also involve many universities in Indonesia engaging about or monitoring this free nutritious program, Bu Kurniasi?
Yes, yes. This program involves many stakeholders, yeah, to monitor and to participate in this program. This program involves many ministry and universities, yeah, to resolve many challenges and obstacles we face, yeah, in this implementation, because this is the new program, so it must be many challenges we will found. So let's make a collaboration, good collaboration to success this program. Our commission, Commission 9, always support the budget. Yeah, this is the biggest budget, you know. Yeah, 70 trillion. Yeah, my God, it's very, very big budget. So we must consider, and we also visit many SDPG in many provinces. Yeah, I have visited in Aceh and then in East Java, also in Jakarta. We have also visited that. Yeah, so many universities can participate, can collaborate, engage in this program, I think.
So, Bu Kurniasi, during the program that has been done by the government, like you said before, talking about all stakeholders are involved at this program, Bu Kurniasi. So how does the house such give appreciation also for, especially for I can say here like some expert here in monitoring about the program, and even for the 3 months ahead, Bu Priyasi.
Yes, because this program will be implemented in many stages.
Mm-hmm.
In every month, we will have a meeting to monitor and to supervise this implementation of this program. According to the report that we have received, mm-hmm. that until now, until the last January, I will see. In January, we have 937 units, and then for this February, we will have 1,000 around 1,000 units, and the next 4 months will be improved in 2,000 and. The last in July, we will have 5,000. So we will monitor and supervise month by month. Not only month by month. In this month, we have 3 times meeting with BGN.
Okay. Now let's turn to Pak Hardinsyah. Okay. Pak, do you see any planning during this research, maybe for a few months ahead?
Yeah, we plan to make a model of the what we call that baseline data, because
okay.
once upon the time we would like to understand to know whether or not this success to achieve about the better cognitive function, better health, better nutritional status. So we try in model to make in Bogor a small model on collecting baseline data. Hopefully from this learning process, we can come up with a protocol for the future baseline data survey as a basis in the future evaluation of the nutritious meal program.
Okay, so does IPB University also need such collaboration with another university, Pak Hardinsyah?
Yeah, it was in the pipeline that after setting in Bogor, and then we will work together with other universities in Indonesia, in each of the province. Yeah.
Okay. So let's turn to Bu Kurniasi. Bu Kurniasi, we know that next month, maybe it will be a holy month of Ramadan. So, do you think that this program should stop for a while or still continue?
This program will stop for Muslim, and we will talk. We will have the next meeting and next week. We will talk about how about the implementation of this program in Ramadan. Of course, it will be closed because mostly all of students will fasting. will be fasting in fasting situation. So it will be stopped, I think. But we still talk with BGN how about implementation this program in Ramadan. So we also invite all of citizens, all of schools, all of universities to participate to success this program, and also monitor, supervise this program so we can improve day by day and to find out the best format or models to implement further.
Okay. Well, could I see what is interesting here is that, like you said earlier, many countries have already done about free meals program, and now Indonesia is holding the program. So actually, what can be learned, yeah, from many countries, especially from Indonesian government, Bu Kuryasi?
Yeah, we are a little late for implement this program, I think, because developed countries implement this program earlier from us, and we can have a benchmark from another country, such as in Europe. We can see that many countries has already implemented this program very good, but the situation in each country are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have target very big. Yeah, different from the other countries. We have 80 million target to this program. So I think we can we can learn the models from another countries, for other countries. But we must analyze and make a deep research. Yeah. To find the best models to implement this program for many students in our country, also a mother, because this program also to pregnant mother, yeah.
Okay, now let's turn to Pak Hardinsyah. Prof, should we also learn from other countries, yeah, in holding or conducting this free meals program?
Yeah, I think what we did in Indonesia is already based on several case study and programs in other countries, both from developed and developing countries.
Yes.
And if we compare from to Japan, for instance, yeah, that Japan is already nearly 80 years old, placed this program.
Mm-hmm.
Japan had a kind of undang-undang, yeah, or act related to this. It's not impressed like us. So in the new future, I think it need to be strengthened, the internal policy is need to be strengthened to the level of the act of undang-undang, not only as a presidential degree, because the level of the policy, if it is in the based on the presidential degree, is lowered. We don't know exactly will be continue or not later on, yeah, whoever the president. So it's better it put it into undang-undang later on.
Okay, so do you think that it is really need a support, yeah, sir, what IPB University done, also monitoring, also the activity for this program. Do you also need such special support, maybe from the House of Representatives, Pak Hamilsa?
Yes, sure. Because we got a fund. Should be the fund is from the agreement of the government, central government, and House of Representatives. Yeah, we got also fund from the one of the United Nations agency here, UNICEF. So UNICEF, in collaboration with Bappenas, the government of Indonesia, partly fund from should be from the agreement of the House of Representatives. Yeah.
Okay. So now it's last question for Bu Kuryasi, also Pak Hardinsyah. So Bu Kuryasi, so what is your expectation for this program that has been done by the government of Indonesia?
Pardon, I can hear.
Maybe you have any such expectation for Indonesian government in conducting this free meals program?
Yes, I think it's very good from Mr. I forgot who.
Hardin.
To make a regulation, yeah, Pak. Agreed, very good, very good. Yeah, not only in press regulation, yeah. Not only in policy, in press, it's not rather strong, yeah. So I think I support to make a regulation, stronger regulation, yeah, to start this program. Maybe low will be made in parliament, yeah, and we also hope that invite all of university to success this program, all students, all schools, and also the citizens to involve in monitoring and also supervising this program.
Hmm.
This program is very good. Then this is the first time in Indonesia, so we must collaborate and we must participate to success this program.
Now it's your time, Pak Hamirsya. Your expectation?
Yeah, I hope that Ibu see when we put more fund budget for this nutritious meal program, please the budget for the education, especially
yes,
basic primary education, for the basic health services.
Yes.
Please don't cut that budget for the basic health services and basic education.
Okay.
Include the higher education, yeah?
Yeah.
So
agreed.
If you cut the budget for the education, and then wow. We have a good body size, good nutrition, but difficult to be the productive people later on. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. We will support in regulation, also in proper budget, exactly, inshallah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. You are welcome.
All right. Thank you very much for Pa Hamirsya, also Bu Kurniasi, for your time and attention to join our special dialogue today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So, listeners, that's all for
today's
discussion on the free meals program in Indonesia. And we hope that this has shown how these efforts help not only with hunger, but also by building healthier communities. See you next time and with our interesting topic.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various user interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and share, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Thank you for staying tuned in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. You can contact us to our Facebook fan page at the Voice of Indonesia or Instagram account at VOI_officials and email address voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and happy weekend.
だからこれはボイスオフインドネシアです。日本語で放送されているボイスオフインドネシアはインドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく様々な情報を提供します。 周波数 332kHz および 4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LL デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。Selamat malam, konbanwa. 今日、私、イーサンが1時間の日本語放送をお送りいたします。今日はニュース、インドネシアの音楽、それともいろいろなインドネシアの情報をお届けします。次はニュースをお伝えします。引き続き周波数 332kHz や 4755kHz から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞いてください。プリズナー皆さんニュースです。それでは最初のニュースです。インドネシア国家サイバー暗号庁、サイバーセキュリティ意識の重要性を強調したことについてお伝えします。インドネシア国家サイバー暗号庁または BSSN の長官、ヌグロホ・スリスティオ・グディ・シーは個人データを保護するための警戒心を持つことの重要性を強調しました。ヌグロホ・シーはジャカルタの大統領宮殿で行われた記者会見で、デジタル機器を利用した詐欺行為を防ぐには高い意識と警戒が必要であると述べました。
terkait dengan perlindungan data memang itu menjadi concern kita bersama bahwa
データ保護に関しては私たち全員の関心事です。インドネシア国家サイバー暗号庁だけでは全てを実施することはできません。強い意識と協力が必要です。サイバーセキュリティやデータの話をするとき、それはシステムやハードウェアの問題だけでなく、意識を問題でもあります。ヌグロホ氏は、フィッシング詐欺などのデジタル詐欺を防ぐためには、堅調な意識が必要であると強調しました。このような攻撃は、単なるシステムやデバイスの強化だけではなく、完全に防ぐことはできず、社会工学的手法を利用して人の油断を救うものです。そのため彼は、ジャーナリストに対し、デジタル空間での個人情報の取り扱いについて、国民のリテラシーを高める役割を担うよう呼びかけました。それでは次のニュースです。インドネシアの持続可能なエビ養殖システムは日本の投資家に注目されることについてお伝えします。インドネシアの中部スラウェシ州プラロンビ村でジャラが国家研究革新庁及びその他のパートナーと共同開発した持続可能なエビ養殖システムまたはクライマットスマートスリムファーミングまたは CSSF が日本の投資家の関心を集めています。このシステムはエビの生産だけでなく生態系の持続可能性にも焦点を当てており、養殖地、マングローブ林、排水処理地の土地を適切に配分することで環境、負荷を最小限に抑えています。この手法により水質が維持され、生産効率が向上するとともに、環境に優しい養殖が実現します。日本の投資家はこの革新的なアプローチに注目しており、高級シーフード市場の成長の可能性とインドネシアのエビ養殖業の国際的なイメージ向上の機会に期待を寄せています。それでは最後のニュースです。アグサリムルティユドヨの大臣、は、日本のインドネシア開発支援を評価することについてお伝えします。アグサリムルティ・インフラ担当調整大臣は、日本政府がインドネシアの国家開発優先政策を支援していることを高く評価しました。これは、プラボウスビアンド大統領の下で進められる、インドネシア2045年ビジョンと一致しています。日本のナルヒト天皇の65歳の誕生日を祝う式典において、アグサリムルティユドヨの大臣は、パティンバン港の拡張や防災対策局課など、長年にわたるインドネシアと日本の 協力関係を強調しました。また、両国の戦略的パートナーシップがエネルギー、農業、